The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I'm excited because I have a bunch of men with the name Mayhawk in my studio, and I want you all to know another thing happened to me on the way to the station. I was just driving, minding my own business, and I saw bags and bags and bags of tamarind on the ground. When I say on the ground, what I mean is for sale. Bag up for me to put inside my car and then put inside my belly. I was so excited. Now, mind you, this is the same spot where the boy telling me $120 for a sack of ganep, you know. So I wasn't quite sure what I was going to meet when I get outside my car, but I was willing to risk the war for some of them ganep, and I'm so glad that I did, because this is a sweet set. This is a set where the people take the seed from the Thailand tamarind in the food store and plant it in the Bahamian limestone. So it's sweet and it's sour. See, that's what all the tourists, all the foreigners who come here, and then they instantly become Bahamian, because when they plant their feet in Bahamian limestone soil, they love what it does to their body. Anyway, these gentlemen in the studio, their last names are Mayhawk, so some of them, your name Mayhawk too today. And if you know that last name Mayhawk, you know they from Ragged Island. If you know Ragged Island, you know they got all the tamarind hiding from us in New Providence, down there in Ragged Island. Excited when I learned the last name of these guests. And then they told me they're not here to talk about tamarind. We're not here to talk about tamarind, Miss Green. We're here to talk about road safety. So you know I am excited. So let me get the show started. We got to get a lot of things to put on the table, put on the record before we get going. First of all, let me remind you, we're still running the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition. It's open to junior and senior high school students across the archipelago. There will be three prizes awarded, one to the first winning submission from a San Salvador student, one from the first winning submission from New Providence or Grand Bahama student, and the first submission from the rest of the Family Islands. They will be the prize winners. To win the prize, just two things you need to present: the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. That's the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will, and the date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. You provide those things, two things. You call the show. Let me know you want to play the game. I'm going to transfer you to the producer, and then you give the information. The student's name, the grade that they're in, and the school they attend, contact information, and their answers. Also, I am excited to tell you all about the Guardian Media Group Cruise giveaway promotion. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want to take you to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part: no visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. First, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Second, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Or make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing is on July 4th, 2025, U.S. Independence Day. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun and feel that ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Remember, certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not in. Included. The Guardian Media Group cruise giveaway promotion. Entry deadline June 27th, 2025. Now, joining me in studio today, I have members of the Bahamas Driving School. I'm so happy to have them in studio this morning. First of all, let me tell you all how pleased I was. I did a little research, and when I did this research about a year and a half ago, I didn't see there was a Bahamas Driving School Association. I am so happy to see. When I say happy, it's like, you know, when you look at your children and you realize they're doing well and they can be able to take care of themselves, that's the type of happiness I had in my heart when I saw this element in our society. So I'm going to ask the guests. I have two guests in studio, one on the phone, to introduce themselves and tell us what we are talking about today. Let's start in studio.
Yes, my name is Mr. Herman Makoff. I'm the president of the Bahamas Driving School Association. And we have just finished our election.
Okay.
And we just had our installation service. And our installation service was well representative. We have over 42 members in our
association. Is that individuals or is that companies as well?
They are individuals and owners.
Individuals and owners.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, over 42 members.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, that's awesome. So you had recent elections.
Yes.
And an installation service.
Yes, and we had a clothing and all. We were able to garment. Mm-hmm. With a coat, all of our members.
Okay, so part of membership, you get a jacket with the insignia of the association on it.
Yes.
All right, so we know, when I see you, I know you are a part of the association. Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, so that's Herman Makoff.
Vice President, Mr. Nathaniel Pierre.
Good morning, Mr. Pierre. You have to speak directly into the mic.
Good morning. Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Ms. Green. It's a privilege to be here with you on Guardian Radio. You know, the association, like my president said, is always eager to take advantage of every opportunity to promote what TBDSA initiatives are.
All right.
And so we are grateful for this opportunity, and I'm happy to join my president to enlighten the Bahamas on what we're doing.
Absolutely. Aye for that. And joining us via telephone, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Aye, good, thank you.
And let me tell you something. This is Stereo Makoff, you know, and, you know, Ragged Island makes the best tamarind sauce because we have the tiniest tamarind to make the best tamarind sauce.
We'll
be happy to take you up there.
Thank you very much. I come in. I don't think people know, right? As much as we love tamarind sauce, I don't think that people know that Ragged Island is the best kept tamarind secret in the Bahamas.
Oh yes. And I represent the welfare and safety committee of the TBS, the TBDSA.
Yes.
And today we are here to talk about Make Walking and Cycling Safe, the 8th biannual UN Global Road Safety Week, May 12th through 18th. And that's what we are here to talk about, Aaron.
Absolutely. I did a little research last night, and not only are we at the beginning of the 8th Biennial UN Global Road Safety Week, right? We are also in the second decade for road safety, a decade of action for road safety initiated by the United Nations, and the decade stretches from 2020 to 2030.
Okay. Yes, and you would note that since you did your research, the target is to reduce all accidents and death by 2030 by 50%.
Yes. And I think it's doable.
It is. It's definitely doable.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so let me read briefly. The 8th UN Global Road Safety Week, this is from PAHO. Road traffic injuries are a leading cause of death and disability worldwide, with nearly 1.2 million people killed and as many as 50 million people injured each year. They are the leading killer of young people aged 5 to 29 years. Globally, more than one of every four deaths occur among pedestrians and cyclists. The global plan for the Decade of Action for Road Safety, 2021 to 2030, reflects an ambitious target to reduce road traffic deaths and injuries by 50% by 2030. It highlights that they can be prevented by addressing the whole of the transport system, taking action to ensure safe roads, vehicles, and behaviors, as well as to improve emergency care. PAHO and WHO, in collaboration with partners, organizes periodic UN Global Road Safety Weeks. The 8th UN Global Road Safety Week, which we are at the beginning of, offers an opportunity to spur action at national and local levels to make walking and cycling safe by highlighting concrete and specific interventions that can be taken by different stakeholders, governments, international agencies, civil society, businesses, and schools. These actions will help promote and facilitate a shift to walking and cycling, which are more healthy, green, and economically advantageous modes of transport. Absolutely. Okay, so tell us, let's go back to the Driving School Association. Give us briefly a bit about the association. Who can be a member? Do I have to own a driving school? Do I have to be an employee of a driving school? Can a driving school as an entity be a member of the association?
Yes, you can become a member of the driving school by owning a school or being an employee of a driving school.
Okay.
Okay, and our criteria is once you become a member is to get certified, okay, because all of our instructors who are insulated, they are certified.
Okay, and what is the certification? Is it a local certification or a global or regional certification?
It's international.
Okay, it's an international standard to be met.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Because I want to know if I could join the association. I don't have a driving school.
No, you can join the association because you have a lot to offer.
All right. You know?
And this, the name of our certificate is from Allison. Okay?
All right.
That's the international certification.
For driving schools?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, this is good to know.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so how long has the association been in existence?
Well, the association has been in existence from the 1960s, right?
What?
But now we have just became certified.
Okay.
Okay. We have just gotten our certification about last year.
Okay.
But that don't mean that we wasn't trying to get certified.
Okay, right.
In the time frame. And it was from different government to government.
All right, so this certification process also required engagement with the state, with the government.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, though, this is good. This is good for people who are like, well, you could go anywhere and get certification.
No.
All right.
To have a driving school, you have to be satisfied. And when he's being certified, it was more or less hold up on the GDES, you see. And more or less when it was there at the Eternal General Des.
Yeah, yeah.
Eternal General Desk, that's when everything changes. Like, government comes in, government goes out. And once it comes in.
All right. So it's a constant shift in administrations that sort of delayed this certification process.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
I understand. All right. So let's get into contact information. I'm a driver or an owner, or I'm thinking about starting a company. I want to call the association. I want to figure out some details and membership. How do I get in touch with you guys?
Well, you can contact me at 636-2511 or
at 427-8342. Those are the contact numbers that you could reach either the president or the vice president directly.
Okay.
These are important for us to highlight, like you said, Ms. Green, who are we, where we are, and like we said, we've been around since before the country was independent.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a long legacy of people that have been in the trenches, not for fame, just for a public service. And just as if you really think about it, we spend more time on these Bahamian streets than the police, the ambulance, all other stakeholders. We are on the road. We have put more safe drivers on the Bahamian streets than any other organization in the country without recognition. And it's important for us to now come out and let the public know that we are here, a stakeholder, that we have their best interests at heart. The TBDSA is the Bahamas' only driving school association. We actually have a Touch Every Island initiative that we're now launching, where we want to install and establish and plant officers in each of our islands. Because even though the rules that govern them.
And I think what we're seeing is maybe not the population is not as high, exactly. But commensurate, right? Like per capita. I just shared images with a trigger warning, right, from an accident. I presume the accident is in Eleuthera because the car has Eleuthera plates, right? The car, it appears, hit a pole. That's what the narrator in the video was saying. Mm-hmm. And the car is beyond written off. You know, the car is beyond written off. And so, although you don't have the density of cars, we seem to be having still an abnormally high number of very bad traffic incidents and accidents on the Family Islands, Abaco, Eleuthera, Exuma, Andrus, right? And so we need a great focus on those islands. Yes, sir.
And then also, we have membership that is on Family Island, particularly in Grand Bahama, and you can contact us also by email through BahamasDrivingAssociation@gmail.com.
All right, let me repeat that. That's BahamasDrivingAssociation@gmail.com. Okay, so what do we have planned for the 8th Global Road Safety Week?
All right, Aaron, what we have planned for in the Bahamas, the first thing we want to do is make sure that we become in alignment with the UN Sustainable Development Goals with respect to road safety targets of the 50% reduction of accidents and deaths by 2030. To do that, we are launching our nationwide road safety campaign this week, which is going to carry us for the next 2 years, throughout the 2 years, biannual reflection on the theme, make walking and cycling safe. We're also looking at creating partnership with government and other road safety stakeholders, where possible, Ministry of Transport, Ministry of Education, Ministry of National Security, Works, and also Health.
I need you One second. I need you to put Ministry of Tourism on the list. I see you like it was a faux pas. But let me tell you why we need to put Ministry of Tourism on the list. So today, I saw one of those Jeeps. You know that the tourist rent? Except it had a red plate on it. And it had a tourism logo, you know, the beautiful island chain logo on the back of it, right? And so with the introduction of rental ATVs and rental Jeeps, right, and then even the green scooters that are on the sidewalk that aren't supposed to be on the sidewalk, that people are using without helmets and safety gear that they're not supposed to use without helmets and safety gear, even those things, right? Like we've introduced three or four different modes of travel for tourists, and we are obviously not doing the requisite public education for those tourists. For instance, if the majority of our guests come from, when they come here, they're trying to drive on the right. constantly. And it's easy for them to do because we don't have sufficient signage, right? Now, you know who have money, extra money for sign?
Who's that?
Ministry of Tourism.
Okay.
They got plenty money. And so it would be great to partner with them, right, for the purpose of keeping tourists safe as well as Bahamians safe.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, let's go back to... Yes, sir.
You know, Ray, that's why I love listening to you. You give such great advice. So I'm going to write that down. Ministry of Tourism on the list.
Yeah, man.
And now back to our Road 3 Weeks highlight.
Yes, sir.
You're looking at courtesy calls to various ministries. Mm-hmm. Of course, we get to do some medium blitz because we are talking about road safety awareness. So we have to do a lot of medium blitz to try and get that out there. We're going to visit 4 schools this week. But throughout the 2 years, we're going to visit schools because we have to educate our young people. And we're going to start with primary school because the junior highs and the senior highs are in exams mode.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at Sybil Strawn Primary, Eva Hilton Primary, Sunderland's Primary, and Aubrey South Primary this week.
Okay.
And then we're going to launch, of course, our safety videos. We have completed 5 safety videos that align with the road traffic safety code book. And we're going to launch a video once a day, each day, we're going to launch a video. And then we're looking at the end, the wrap-up with the church service, 10:45 at the Pentecostal Baptist Church on Alexandria Boulevard, Nassau Village. So we have quite a bit of activities planned. Because all of this really is the kickoff. Like you say, we're in the second decade.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have another 5 years, 6 years, sorry, to meet the deadline of reducing our accidents and injuries created on the road by 50%.
We could do it.
Yes.
And we need to do it because we often discount how many of our communities are primarily walking communities, right? We have to do it because a great percentage of us do not drive. The young people, they cannot drive. And some of them, I want them to drive because I bet they drive better than some of y'all. But that's not the point. The point is, right, like...
It's affording. They cannot afford.
We cannot afford to not focus on road safety. And the theme, the theme for this year, which is make walking and cycling safe. Yeah.
And one thing that's important to note too, that with the pedestrians on the road, they're stakeholders too, because mm-hmm. people who are walking on the side of the roads, you know, we are interested in also seeing if we could expand the sidewalk system so that people have places to wear. Education is our best opportunity for us to prevent some of these traffic accidents, especially among young people, because they are such a high-risk group.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones we, like just this morning, I just left road traffic, and a young man, 19, just obtained his driving license. So it's a rite of passage for them. It's an important work we do. It's a civil service that we do to make sure that we could prevent at least some of these deaths and injuries that happen because of accidents.
Right, and they are preventable. Right. And so I like to make a distinction. Callers, I apologize. I'm going to get to the callers right after the break. We're going to go to a break soon. The phone is flashing there. Let's take this caller and then we get back to that point. Right. Because our cultural attitudes, very important in this conversation. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Producer, can we take that call? Good morning, caller. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to your guest, Ms. Kane. I know you take this topic really serious, and because normally you'll try to get to the callers, and then you, like you say, you could see the callers, people trying to bring their good ideas, like how you bring the Ministry of Tourism inside of it. But I appreciate being able to call in because I wanted to give my idea also.
Yes, sir.
Like how you say Ministry of Tourism. I was wondering, like, if it's possible, knowing that the gentlemen say they certify. Now, I think that means they're more stronger and more qualified, but they get the papers now to show the demand, certain things to them. I was thinking about not the primary schools, but the junior high schools. Maybe if you say not junior, then senior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like how you're saying the young people, you know. I was thinking this before that, but like I said, I was ringing. Is it a way that they could work with the government in all the primary schools? And I wanted to know, like, how much members we have in this association in the Bahamas. We have them on all the family islands because this idea, what I'm talking about, I don't just want it in Nassau, but I want the government to either, what the word is, supplement or...
Mm-hmm. Subsidize.
Subsidize, yeah, like with the company, with the association,
mm-hmm.
with the junior high school, so we can teach our young people, come out and we can work on those permits. Because, you know, the parents are sometimes used. We allow our children either you can't see too good or you just need them and they know how to do these things. But you want to do it the right way, so teach them the right way and let the government and association try to assist them, to help them, to encourage them to get it the right way, to get the permit and the license and everything. And not just have these things, because people have these things and still don't know how to conduct themselves on the road. So
yeah.
We need to train them how to do it. What you always saying about Nassau Village, Alexander Boulevard? I'll hang up and listen. I didn't hear that, but I only hear Nassau Village, Alexander Boulevard.
Okay.
Okay, let me answer you on working with the junior schools. Getting a learner's permit, one has to be 17. And most of the persons that are in the junior schools are not 17. Now, we'll have to work with the senior school, but we are still launching our program in all the schools from primary, junior, and senior. Now, when we reach to the senior school, I'll be getting the learner's permit and behind the wheel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Going behind the wheel, we are waiting to get more or less our stakeholders, road traffic, to get on board because we are trying to partner with them and we are trying to get answers from them.
As well.
As well.
So, Pauper, I'd love your contribution. Right? They are on the family islands. They do have...
One of the major family islands. That's Freeport.
And that's what the Touch Every Island initiative is
about. Expanding to the family islands.
Yeah.
But I got Pauper, you spark an idea. Like Maycock said, that you have to be 16 or 17, 17 to get your permit, right? And so how about this? Let us figure out if we can partner with all of the entities in the country that have... arcades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know Fusion and Bahama have arcades. Now, what if these arcades had a simulator?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, not just the simulator that schools could book to come in for special classes, but that they run a national competition for the Safest Driver Award. Right? And you get a nice big prize, man.
Mm-hmm.
Something special. But it's open for the year round.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, the person with the best score,
mm-hmm.
they publicize and they get a big time. Or they even get a car.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They get a car.
Yes, sir.
And so you are incentivizing participation in the program. And then because the adults are going to get excited about it, the young people can get excited about it as well. I want to go do this thing. I want to see if I could beat my daddy on the simulator.
And you see, what you just said, Aaron, is so powerful. You said cultural. You had mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We have to shift the culture to where bad driving is no longer cool.
Mm-hmm.
To where following the rules on the road is what's cool. And like that's an excellent idea. The Safest Driver Award. Because once you get that ingrained in the culture of these youths, then they take pride in being a good driver.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we see a lot of the motorcycles, and I mean, just 2 days ago, I witnessed a motorcycle run into a truck. And I mean, we see that we want the youths to be on board. Because again, there's such a high risk. If you look at the fatalities and the injuries where they get maimed and injured for life,
mm-hmm.
And it's because of inexperience. So that cultural shift, the educations in the junior schools, and like Dario said, chairman for the Welfare and Safety
Committee,
they're going into the schools. We're going to join them. We're here today with you, our president and I. And we want this to be a part of our daily life. And you mentioned something so key, the foreigners that come here for visiting or even for residence is important. We should welcome them and embrace them and also say, well, look, this is how we do it here.
Mm-hmm.
We stay on the left. I noticed some of the rental cars, they have the sticker that says stay on the left, but we got to go further
mm-hmm.
because none of us want to see a tourist on the side of the road bleeding because they got injured in one of these ATVs or something like
mm-hmm.
that. So it's all of us are stakeholders, Aaron. Everybody that walks, catches a bus, rides a bicycle, this is our baby. We all have to be involved. And the TBDSA is just standing at the forefront to lend a hand and to help and to lead and to guide this cultural initiative of
absolutely.
Drivers.
Let's go to this caller and then producer. We can go to a break, and when we get back from the break, let's talk about some of these cultural attitudes on the road that are more problematic than we thought. Good morning, caller.
Miss Green, good morning, dear guest.
Morning, morning.
Yeah, we're in a mess as it relates to this foolishness that's going on the roadways, right? But, you know, I lived in the States for a period of time, and I find out that when I hit the back roads, like in the wee hours, you know, I would always go back into the Bahamas and go on the left. Right, but you see what I'm saying? So that idea of putting those signs in the rental vehicles is very important because we are a tourist destination.
Mm-hmm.
But in America, they won't do that for you. So whenever I drive over there, and I would always say, so I stay on the right. So that's how I always kept myself orientated, you know, because at times you would forget if you threw a back road in Alabama, wherever you are. But I'm saying this happens, you'll end up on the left. Sometimes you're not mindful all the time. But there's a lot of imbecility, but what I wanted to touch on is relates to road safety. I've seen a perpetual folly where bus. This is also that the bus drivers need to be educated because they are very imbecilic on the road. I'm telling you, most of them. And so what I see is they let students off the buses, right? Or during school hours, they would let students off the buses, and they would let the student cross the road from in the front of the bus, like the student is 8 feet tall and you can see them.
Mm-hmm.
But that is imbecilic. Some of them would stop and flag their hands, right?
Yeah.
To stop, it's a dual carriageway, so it'll be northbound, two cars heading north. So they would stop and flag, say, would stop. But if the child crosses in the back of the bus, then that's a better chance of them
right.
not even getting involved in any type of accident because we could actually see them versus them. I'm over 6 feet, so what I'm saying is I don't even feel safe walking in the front of a bus to go into the next lane that's heading northbound
mm-hmm.
or southbound, respectively. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So but why are they continuing this practice? Give thanks.
Absolutely, because nobody is forcing them to change. Because it's as simple as a flag that says school bus, right? Like school student and you or passenger walk in, something, and the driver puts the flag out so that people see it. But a point that he made, when you're on a dual carriageway, people, when both lanes of traffic heading in the same direction, people getting off of a bus and attempting to cross the road should walk to the back of the bus to cross the road. I would say wait until so that the drivers can see you clearly on the sidewalk before you begin to cross. But this is also why we need pedestrian crossings. And this is why bus stops need to be stationary, right? Like static in a marked place with a sign. So then they could put the pedestrian crossing next to the bus stop. Right, but when the bus stops randomly anywhere in the road and people get off and they try to cross the road anywhere, drivers are not aware. They don't know that you got off the bus to cross the road. You could have been going through the corner on that side of the road.
Exactly.
So one of the cultural problems or attitudes that we have is that when we drive, and everybody's supposed to know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, when we say, oh, that's your business, you ain't supposed to know. Is a movement of people. It's not one person.
Right.
Traffic is... Yes, sir, go on.
Oh, sorry. You know, that's 52, right, Uja?
Yes, sir.
Made that comment. Yes, I would like to ask this first point. You know, we have moved away from a lot of good practices. I don't know if you recall back in the day when you rented a car,
mm-hmm.
There was a sticker right on the dashboard, and it says, it point to the left and say, drive to the left.
Mm-hmm.
We have moved away from good practices for our tourists, and we need to go back to that. And it's a simple thing, like you said. If we can do it, we just have to enforce the good practices that we have had in the past,
mm-hmm.
where we were safer on the road.
Absolutely. You see the turn signal? A few weeks ago, I made a statement on Facebook. It was half in jest, half serious, because it's Facebook, not really serious place. And I said that 65% of drivers should have their license revoked. And one person took me to task. Where you get these figures from? They say, listen, we on Facebook. This is sort of observational and anecdotal. But after 30, I started driving at 18. After 31 years of driving and observing drivers, I've gathered enough information to be able to say a couple things, right? So when I said it, he was in an uproar. And it caused me to pause for a second and think about it. Am I being ridiculous? In the 2 weeks since that conversation on social media, let me tell you the number of people who refuse to use their turn signal. And I've driven with some of them over these 30 years. I know what they're saying in their heads because they say it out loud when I'm in the car with them, mm-hmm. right? You don't need to know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. So I said, why you didn't use your turn signal so they could get out in front of me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens to me, and it happened to me this morning on my way to work on a dual carriageway. I'm assessing the flow of traffic. I see there's an opportunity to change lanes and advance beyond these two cars that are driving at the same speed next to each other on a dual carriageway, which is also another problem on the road, right? And as soon, I put on my turn signal, and I give it 2 seconds, and as soon as I'm entering the lane to the right, the car in front of me, no turn signal, just floats across the lane. So I don't know if they are intentionally changing lanes. I don't know if they have lost sight of what they were doing and they're just veering in the roadway. I don't know if they were on their cell phone, which made it difficult for them to use their turn signal and maintain control of the car. Yes, sir?
Okay, Ms. Green, let me add to that too. While teaching driving, we like the motorist public to respect at least the driving schools, especially with the L's,
mm-hmm.
on their cars, because most of the time when we put on our signal, you find the motoring public speeds up instead of allowing the student or the candidate to switch lane.
Mm-hmm.
That's very dangerous. And they speeds up and they cut straight back in front of you. It only matters of them waiting a couple seconds until we switch us or allow us to switch. And then more or less everything will go safe and smooth. But they need to more or less respect signals. Not only for the driving schools, but
everybody. I mean, I've heard people say, I don't want people to know what I'm doing on the road. That's why I don't use my turn signal. And for me, that is sufficient. If you say that to me, like the driving instructor I had when I took my test, he looked at me, he said, Ms. Green, I done fail all my children twice. If you ready to fail, let's go.
Let's go.
I won't be that type of driving instructor and traffic enforcer, right?
Yeah. And it was great. You see, I'm so encouraged this morning because what you're doing here on this program is a public service. See, because we have to move in that direction at the way bus systems run in other municipalities. They have a bus station to where you pull off the road, all buses line up, and it is illegal for them to stop at any place. And when you have students catching the bus to school, that's we behemoth thing. So I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But we should go the extra mile to make sure that these young ones are safe. And like you said, even thinking about that, a child that's maybe 3 feet, 4 feet tall, if that, passing in front of a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the mindfulness of the driver to flag his hand, that shouldn't be a random thing. That should be an enforced thing.
Mm-hmm.
They actually should wait till the bus moves. So we have to move into these areas to where we are getting these things institutionalized so that we can stop some of these accidents.
Absolutely.
And then, also, the one thing, you've probably seen it, somebody coming out on the outer lane on a roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
And
going all the way around.
All the way around.
Mm-hmm.
We encounter it all the time. On what we're doing here today is just highlight these things and to get the show on the road that we move in a better direction as a country. And we trying to save Bahamian lives and motorist lives out here on these streets.
Absolutely. So let's take this call and then let's talk tips, standards for driving and keeping pedestrians and cyclists safe. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller. Good morning. Hey, how are you?
Yeah, sorry, I called back to just ask the gentleman to make up them if it's a myth or it ain't no true that after the failing the driver's test, they say two times. After the two times you fail, automatically you get the license. Is that a myth or people just used to be saying that? Then I was wondering, I know they train us how to, the schools, the association is training us how to drive and stuff, I guess vehicles. And I think a motorbike is a vehicle too. But who's training the people? I can't recall where's a school where they have. Or I should ask you. Or do you have a motorbike training? Do you train the people how to drive the motorbike, use the helmet, and do everything else? I had that question with the roundabout because a lot of us don't know how to use it, but the gentleman talked about it just now. So I wanted to know who's trained the people how to drive these motorbikes and do things the right way. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
All right. Let's go to the next caller quickly. I'm writing down, get license after two failures. I got to write that down. What? Y'all wake up to R.J. Science and me just now. My goodness. Let's go to the next caller, producer. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron, and to your guest.
Morning, Uncle. How you doing?
Morning.
Gentlemen, so you know what I noticed, right? I don't know if you all might see it like this, but the reason why we have so much people driving on the road is simply because a lot of them aren't being trained by schools, right? They are being trained by people who drive just the way they drive on. They are now driving on the road,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if the guy would just cut across the sidewalk and jump over the speed bump, if that's who teach you how to drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then how we can see any better different driving on the road?
I agree. So what do you think? You think mandatory, you have to take a minimum of 4 lessons with a school before you could get your test?
A minimum, because why? If we wanted to be a form of unifying, where you go like...
We'd have standards. We want to have standards and be unified and make sense across the board.
Right. Like how when we go to other countries, right, you see people, everybody driving basically the same, you know, not in a chaotic manner or aggressive manner. So, yeah, put it up about 4 times and make it mandatory in order for any driver's license to be issued. And then this is how we could even track those illegal driver's license, because if you have a license and I mean being caught driving in those type of manners, and when investigation is done, you didn't even receive this 4 qualification to be on the road. These are the things we have to do, man.
Absolutely, I like it. I like it. Thank you very much. I just thought about it, right? Like, okay, if not a 4 lesson minimum, right, which is mandatory, what if you, before you could go to road traffic to put in the application for the test, you have to have taken a test with a driving school and have that certified, right? So if now I catch, as a police, and I catch you on the road and you present to me a license, but from the way you license or not, the supplement is show me the receipt for your driving school test as well.
Okay, Ms. Green, there's no requirement for you taking a test
with a driving school.
With a driving school. And there's no standard of lesson taking a test at road traffic for a driver's license. The only standard that road traffic requires you is to have a learner's permit.
Yeah.
And we were lobbying for the years and years that there should be mandatory classes or lessons that they must put in place for persons to take a driving test.
Yeah, and because for people who are economically disadvantaged, right, if this opportunity is also presented through the school, from the top of the year, I'm a motivated student. From the year before, I can let my guidance counselor and my teacher know, hey, listen, I need you to put me on the list for next year for this driving class because my mommy can't afford to pay for no school and I need to get car to work. So put me in this class from now, so by the time I hit 70 and I have my permit, I have this in my hand.
And that's one of the things that we are agitating with road traffic as we speak, that because you could go like, Mr. President said, you could go straight from the classroom taking a theory test and immediately within a few seconds, mail, and within 30 minutes to an hour, the government will return you an appointment for you to come and drive to get your driver's license. There's no stipulation as to how much experience you have on the road actually handling a car, and we want to put a little something in the middle there so that people could get some time training.
All right. Mr. Mako.
Yes, ma'am. What you said a while ago is there's a spark of a little memory there. With the driver's education program, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are trying to bring to road traffic, to bring it back into the schools.
Good.
And
okay.
We are trying to lobby with them, but we cannot get a meeting with
the relevant authorities yet.
Now, we are getting a good relationship from the minister, because that's look like her baby. Mm. But now, when that drops down...
Yeah. Maybe on the minister to sort of create the enable an environment where you can begin this relationship. We got to go to the break. I want you all to listen to this song, right?
Yeah,
see, this is Johnny Cake and Shine, The Flicking Road. When we talk about, we need to listen to this song. Now, I'm not saying that Johnny Cake then made us bad, but Johnny Cake saw what was in us and he tried to bring it to our attention. We're going to a break. If you on the road, put your phone down, two hands on the wheel. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.
Doing curbside, trying to get my hustle on, just to try to get by. Food store lined in long with COVID, going strong. Competent authority, but yet they're dead wrong. My Cindy's KFC, fish fry, Portsky dog. I just want me some corn salad.
She'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Wake up on the Zonta Club of Nassau's second annual We Are Family Fun Run Walk and Push on Saturday, May 17th from 6 a.m. at the Montague Foreshore. Push a stroller, walk with grandma, or sprint. Just move with us. The first 100 finishers will receive a medal. Stick around for health screenings and wellness sessions. Every dollar supports PACE and the Bahamas AIDS Foundation, along with our youth programs. Registration for groups of 10 is $25 each. Single adults, $30. Kids under 13, 10. Plus, everyone that registers gets a goodie bag and t-shirt. Call us today at 807-3021 or email ZontaClubOfNassau@hotmail.com. See you at the Montague Foreshore on May 17th at 6 a.m.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Okay, it is 10:59. Gentlemen, I have to have you back on. Here's why. Because I talk so much about the driving school. Oh, I talk about y'all bad. I talk about the Bayou 32 years ago, when he said he's coming through Soldier Road intersection before it changed up. Listen, this before it changed up. It's a long time. And he say, turn, put on your left turn signal. I put on my left turn signal, I'm going to turn on to Prince Charles. He yucked the wheel for me. He say, no, we turn in over there on the side of the bush right there. And I look at him, I say, you know what? This was a great lesson. Because I know I ain't letting you teach me. See, what he didn't know is that Ori J. Sands is my cousin. She don't play. Long before I got my license, she let me know. If I look at this report and I think you swing the police, I go into the police station and I can tell them, put that one in jail. She's smart. Put her in jail. And that's the culture, right, that's guided my driving. Right? Like, when you think you could get away with something, somebody always watching. And I thought that for a Christian nation, that would be our mantra. So, gentlemen, I'm definitely going to have you back on. I owe you all that. I talk about about driving schools bad. So I'm making space for this. But let's go through the text quickly. Good morning, Aaron. To the police truck that caused me to slam hard on brakes this morning while my kids was in the car. Do better. I see some police truck doing something this week. I don't want to talk about it. It hurts my heart. We're on Palm Tree Avenue from Blue Hill heading to Market Street. It's two lines, one way. Police truck on the left. I'm on the right. He then decides to turn with no siren and no signal through Frey Street on the left. I had to slam on the brakes. Upset me. I can't say that word. They need to find Mr. Maycock those and go back to driving school. I'm just saying, since all police officers are traffic officers, then all police officers should have regular traffic training, both so they will know what the laws are they're supposed to be enforcing, and then they remember how not to break them while they drive in. Because it's two separate things. It's two separate things. Okay, good day. To get my private pilot certificate, I had to have passed a written exam, then have a minimum of 40 flight hours mastering some basic flight skills before my instructor could sign off to allow me to take the check ride. We ought to implement something similar for driving, yes, because I've seen that people have started trying to make their vehicles fly. There's another one. Ms. Green, road traffic is the biggest problem. No traffic cops in high traffic time of the day, especially at these traffic lights. And having a learner's permit, road traffic supply a booklet like it was before the study. They're saying, does road traffic provide the permit holder with a manual when they get the permit?
No.
See, that's important. I think you guys slap them with it, with the Bible, not a literal slap.
They used to.
When they get the permit in their hand, you slap the manual inside their hand. You say, you feel the weight of that? Mm-hmm. That's the responsibility you're going to have on the road. You got to talk to these children like their grandma used to talk to their daddy and nobody was looking. Here's another one. Also, why are motorcyclists allowed to ride up on the sidewalks? They're not. Why are cars parking on the sidewalks on busy streets? Because those drivers don't care about other people. Pedestrians are forced to walk into the streets to pass this foolishness. You're absolutely right. And we have too many pedestrians being killed because we refuse to respect the spaces that are for pedestrians. The bus drivers need to stop at the marked bus stops. I am a bus driver. I do not stop anywhere on the road. When my passenger says bus stop, I stop at the bus stop. They may be upset. However, I just tell them they ain't gonna be the one to get that ticket if the police pull up. Let me send a shout out to Yellowbird, who I see you back on the number 11 route in the east, and Roadhog. I don't know if you still driving. Believe that I wanted to be a pedestrian. From the area he'd pick me up in, he's y'all crazy. Y'all think y'all white people up in there, but you don't want a car. You want to catch bus? Morning, Roadhog. I miss you. These people wouldn't let me walk no more. Here's another text. If people tailgating, they would have enough time. Give people time to turn safely. No. Texter. The texter know why I say no. No, y'all doing foolishness in these cars. The person, no turn signal. They just slowing down. No turn signal. They begin to enter the corner, and then they stop. We were stopped for 15 seconds while they were trying to decide whether they actually wanted to turn through this corner or if they were going to illegally enter the roadway again because they felt like they still had the right of way. Some of y'all be so deep on your phone, you forget you're driving a car. That is a part of the problem. See, just before we go, Cosme, I may have to have you all back tomorrow. Just before we go, right? One of the cultural attitudes we have is that we think we're Americans. And so when an American could jump in their car and discover the world, a sense of freedom, we just adopt that as if that's ours. And so when we get in the car, we act like we are free. Free to do whatever we want, as opposed to acknowledging that we're not free. In fact, we just tied ourselves to a system of other cars, and everything we do has to consider and accommodate the other cars on the road. So no, you can't do whatever you want to do in your car. You can't answer your phone and slow down if you want to, and they're very rich white man that just stopped your car on Bay Street, blocking the entrance to Shirley Street, blocking the entrance to Victoria Avenue because you were on a call. And I bet you were calling the people in the office to figure out where you're supposed to park. This guy just stopped his car in the middle of the road. Y'all are the set who be complaining that people tailgating y'all. If you want to use your phone, park your car. I can make Ori J. Sands be all of y'all insurance agent. And then y'all will know what it feels like.
And you know, Aaron, from the amount and the passion of the people who have been calling and texting, I just want to say thank you to all of the concerned mm-hmm. citizens. It's clear that the Bahamas is ready for the TBDSA and an improvement in our road system. So we on the move. We could keep the fire burning to make sure that these things get listened to, heard. Even when we had our installation of the new officers, mm-hmm. the Prime Minister and the Minister of Education, the Minister of Transport, all sent remarks. And this was the main thing that came from them, a consistent message. Y'all, please help us. Do y'all part. Create new avenues. And Aaron, I thank you. Can't we be welcome to come back? Because what you're doing is a tremendous public service, and we all thank you for it.
Absolutely. I talk about y'all bad. I owe y'all because y'all are keeping the road safe. We got to go. We're all out of time. Thank you to the texters. And most importantly, drive safe. Put your phone down. The only thing you have to do when you're driving is driving. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.